Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am spectacular. I'm living the dream. My back, which I talked about last week, which was sore because I did some silly things, is all better. So I'm ready, primed, and pumped to do more silly stuff. You're listening to the Repco Lite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And you're going to learn so many things today. You're going to want to send us a big, fat thank you letter just because of all the things you learned today, right?
Imagine if we got thank you letters.
Or like, big, fat one.
You know,
can you have a big, fat letter? I think you can. I would like one, just to see.
Just a big, fat letter.
Yeah, I want it bulging at the seams with thank yous. No, we're going to cover raised bed gardening. And yes, maybe it's a little bit late, or maybe it's way too early. But I think it's good enough. And really, that's all that matters. So we're going to talk about that. I think it's brilliant. We'll also be talking about color drenching.
Yeah, it's a big trend right now. It's been building up steam for a few years, and we want to dig into it.
So we've got all of that coming up, but before we get to that, now that color drenching one, whew, that's a big one. It takes
us a lot to cover.
Two segments, yes. Yeah. And Haley is just doling out the facts, and I'm there to keep it entertaining and to keep the people listening, right?
Yes.
That's my goal. I just ask any question that comes into my mind. But because that takes a fair amount of time to get to, we don't have a lot of time on this opening segment.
Yeah.
So I was racking my brain trying to think of something funny to talk about, something ridiculous to talk about.
Which is your kind of your zone.
It's my zone. It's where I live.
Yeah.
But I couldn't come up with anything. And so then I realized, oh, I've got the perfect follow-up. I like doing follow-ups every now and then. We talk about stuff on air, make recommendations, and then sometimes that's just we never talk about those things again. And sometimes we have great experiences with things we learn, and we never get to reconvey that information. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked to a pet groomer, and she gave me all kinds of advice to deal with the golden glitter. In my house. Yep.
Glitter.
That's what she called it.
I don't think that you should call it that.
That's what it's called, Haley. Okay. Don't make fun of people. People use this term all the time. The golden glitter.
Okay.
It's when golden retrievers shed.
Hmm.
It's golden glitter. Look it up. And she was telling me how to deal with that. And I had all these different questions. I had bought a number of brushes, returned most of them based on the interview that we had. But I found a Furminator, which was supposed to be, I thought, great. She warned against it a little bit. You know, you can use it the right way and get great results. But hey, you know me, probably not going to use it the right way or going to make a mistake and have bad results. So I returned it. I have a Forever brush, which is supposed to remove undercoat hair. I kept that one. Very inexpensive. But anyway, her whole point, I was asking her, how do we deal with the shedding dogs? Because it's miserable at this time of year. She said, yes, you can use that Forever brush, use a slicker brush. All of those things are great. You've got to be brushing the dog. But she said that a lot of people, you know, don't want to brush the dog on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be the ideal, but it's just, it's time consuming. And she said, the biggest thing you can do, the best thing you can do is give them a bath on a regular basis and use an anti-shedding shampoo and conditioner. And I thought, how much of a difference can that make? You know,
right.
That just didn't resonate in my head. But she's an expert. She's telling me that. So I thought, let's do it.
Yeah,
so
you gave it a shot.
Saturday, after the show was over, I gave Maggie a big long bath, used the proper shampoos. We did a little bit of combing and brushing after the fact. We strained the tub as we drained it. And oh my gosh, the hair that we removed, it was like a basketball.
Oh.
Didn't bounce, but it was a real squishy basketball. And after that, and after the little bit of brushing that we did, by far it was the tub that did the bath that did the work. She is no longer shedding.
That's amazing.
So the information given out by our pet grooming expert, Pet Cuts Grooming in Zealand, was spot on. It'll solve the problem. Make sure you consider that if you're still dealing with shedding pets. The tubs are going to make a big difference. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump full on into color drenching. That's all next. Stick around. Well, Haley, let's talk about color drenching. You're listening to the Repco Lite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And yeah, color drenching, it's a trend. It's been picking up steam for a few years now.
Right.
You promoted this idea to me And as always, I was wide open with my ideas and my willingness to listen to your craziness, right?
Yeah. You're nothing if not open.
I am nothing if not open. So you pitched the topic. It's a good topic. And we're going to break it into two segments. We're going to spend this first one basically talking about
some of the benefits from you know, using this trend.
Where you would use it, things like that, the considerations you need to keep in mind.
Right.
The considerations that must be considered. We're going to do that in the first segment. Then we're going to take a break. We'll listen to some commercials, tap our toes to whatever music comes through. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about how to do it.
Yes.
All of that good stuff. Color drenching. Let's talk about it, Haley. Where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a trend that's been picking up steam for a couple of years now, maybe longer than that even. But it's a twist on kind of a classic color application. I think for a long time, people, especially in Europe, have applied the same color to their walls as their trim and just using sheen.
On purpose, not like they were just dripping onto the trim and it just covered it so completely. This was an intentional decision.
Yes, an intentional design choice. And that's honestly kind of a timeless choice. But color drenching takes that idea one step farther by using the same color on the walls and the trim and also the ceiling.
The doors.
So everything in the room is the same color. So it's drenched in color is the idea. And I think that sounds like it could be a lot.
You think it sounds like it could be a lot. I'll just let
you know it
does.
It sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot of color.
Yeah, I think it's a very different approach than most of us take when painting a room. Normally, we're thinking about the walls being one color, then choosing our trim color, and then probably not even really considering our ceiling color because the ceiling is just the ceiling and it's going to stay the white that it is right now.
Right. That's the idea.
Right.
But then we do this, and you're making the case that this really does help us a lot because it's a great way to make a space feel more cohesive and calm. That's one of the benefits of doing this.
And that's, I think, the very first reason that you might consider it is that it's a really great way to make a space feel more cohesive, especially if you have rooms that are oddly shaped, you know, if there's a dormer upstairs, so you've got ceilings that are sloping in, and how that meets the wall is a little bit awkward maybe, or you know, even the angle that walls are facing kind of create a space that feels a bit awkward. You've got other rooms that potentially have a lot of doors and windows to other spaces. We talked about one of those situations a few weeks back from that first color consultation I did where there was a dining room that was also the entry. And so it had, I think, six doors and three windows.
Up.
It was very broken up. And so
you color drenched that
you
to make that feel
exactly just calmer and more inviting. And it really just reduces a lot of that visual noise. But I think the second reason to use it is that being surrounded by a single color, it's almost like a visual hug. It's very calming when you're in a space
like
that.
It's like a visual hug.
Yeah.
See, that's normally the way Haley leads with some of these topics. Mm. Let's talk about something that feels like a visual hug. And Dan's just, you know, it's tough for me to get on board with that. But I get it. I get it. I do think
I think you need a visual hug, Dan.
Not big on physical contact, but maybe something figurative might work.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that in your notes, you skipped past this, but it says right in there, especially for rooms that are oddly shaped or small. Hmm. Is where this is really good. And that kind of thing.
Or overwhelming.
Well, that seems like me.
Right.
I'm oddly shaped, small, and I'm overwhelming. I should be color drenched.
I think we should color drench you.
I need to wear a jumpsuit, all one color. I'm not sure what that color is.
Or like one of those, like the Green Man suit, you know, so that you disappear on a green screen.
Oh, it's something to make me disappear entirely. It's like a visual hug for everybody else. All right, so there's one benefit. Another one that you've got down is it helps the space feel larger.
Right, exactly. Because you're sort of camouflaging, in a way, a lot of the surfaces in this space, because you're painting everything the same color, by blurring the lines of where the walls start and end, you're kind of less aware of those boundaries. And then by doing so, the size of the room becomes
less obvious. Yeah, I would think it just feels
more
open.
Yeah.
Unless you go with a crazy dark color that closes it all in.
But even then,
I might be able to do the opposite.
Right, because dark colors do actually recede in our vision. That's how we're trained to understand, you know, foreground and background. So there's some arguments to be made on either side there.
But you definitely will help a space feel larger.
Right.
The third benefit. It creates a visual impact.
Right. This is a serious design choice that you're making here. So I think that can really elevate the overall aesthetic without overwhelming the senses, because I think a lot of things that we depend on to make a really big design impact in a space tend to be kind of loud decisions, right? Like using a wallpaper that has like a very serious pattern to it, or using a very saturated, you know, color in the way that it's more vibrant, or a really dark color that feels more dramatic. And I think those things are less about reducing and also creating impact. They're more about kind of adding more to a space for the impact.
Well, and some spaces need that, but you're making right. the case, you believe that entirely drenching a room in one color,
mm-hmm.
ceiling, doors, you name it, trim, yeah. walls, that's not an overwhelming, I guess it's not adding visual noise. I understand
right.
that.
Yeah. I don't think it overwhelms the senses, as long as you're choosing the right color.
Yeah, and we're going to get
you know?
To that. No, that makes sense.
Because you're really enveloping a space. It can't be overlooked. And in that way, maybe it's loud. But I think the feeling in that space is going to be calmer.
I think it's loud in a more whispery manner.
Yeah, it's a right? loud whisper.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about where you would use this trend.
Yeah, so like we talked about, one would be an odd space, one that's broken up a lot, those doors or windows.
Awkwardly shaped, small.
So like hallways or entryways are really good examples of that. And I think those are spaces where you're really depending on color to make the design impact in those spaces, because you can't depend on anything else to do that for you. So it makes a lot of sense in there. Bedrooms would be another option. I think it's perfect for a bedroom because, like we talked about, you're creating a calming effect on the space.
The visual hug. We're back to that
yes,
again, right?
You're creating a little cocoon for yourself. And I think that's really perfect for a bedroom.
Let's say cocoon moving forward, because I can roll
you
with
like
that
cocoon
easier.
Better than a visual
I
hug.
I do.
That makes sense.
So I'm going to create my cocoons and wait till I emerge from that sucker.
Oh my God.
All right. Another space. How about a dining room? Can I do it in a dining room?
Yeah, I think a dining room is a great space for that, because it might be a space where we're entertaining more. And I think by creating, you know, one that feels like a cocoon.
Yeah.
It feels more intimate for those guests.
Oh, you really wanted to say visual hug, didn't
mm-hmm,
you?
I did.
So I would pick food color for my walls, so that if there's any spills, look at me, I'm double doing there.
There you go. All Camouflaging right. in multiple ways.
Yeah. Bathrooms, I believe it would be good there. I know you've got some really interesting ideas with the bathroom.
Color drenching in a bathroom is almost one step further, because if you were to look on Pinterest or Instagram or any of those platforms where you might find some inspiration for color drenching, when you look at bathrooms that have been color drenched, you're going to find pictures of rooms that they've painted the walls, the ceiling, and the trim and the doors the same color. But then they're also, in a lot of cases, especially where they have money to spend, they're using the same color for the toilets, the sink, the tub, and the tile. So,
well, I would certainly think that without
extremely monochromatic,
without doing that, it really loses the effect.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
A bathroom's not a big space.
Right.
And if I've got a white sink and a white toilet, a white tub, white
mm-hmm.
tile,
You're breaking it up a lot.
I've got all that visual noise back.
Right.
So a green toilet or a pink toilet?
Well, right,
or
and Kohler in recent years has started coming back out with a lot of these different color sinks and toilets and tubs again, and they're expanding the palette every single year. So it is catching on. I mean, this is something that people are starting to get really into.
I just can't. Do I gotta love that color.
Yeah. I mean,
do I have to love that color. I don't think I could say that phrase enough times, because that is so important. I mean, the sink, the tub, the toilet, the tile. You know what? I'm not big on that green anymore. Let's burn the house down and rebuild, right? Isn't that what it feels like?
Yeah.
You might as well at that point.
I mean, at that point, I would try to plan for the future in a way where, like, okay, the toilet and the tub and the sink can stay if we do this color in the future.
Okay.
Like,
yep.
you know.
That would work. I can wrap my brain around that. So there are some spaces. Let's talk about some considerations, things to consider And then we're going to take a break and we'll get to the how-tos.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your considerations, Haley?
So first one, you've really got to be very intentional on how you decorate a color-drenched space, because you're reducing any of the focal points that would be created by the architectural elements in a room. So really you need to be focused on creating focal points. Any of the architecture in the space, like the trim, the ceiling line, like we said, you're camouflaging all of those surfaces together. So they're not directing your eye in any way. You're really depending on the decor in the room to do that for you at this point. And that's very necessary to create a space that feels well-designed.
Or you'll never know how to get out of the room, right? You'll just be walking around, nosing against the wall. What's Dad doing? Oh, he's just looking for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Never should have color drenched. Don't go to that corner. Dad thought that was the way.
Well, you want your eye to move around a space. You don't want to just walk into a space and I don't know how to describe that feeling, but it feels a little bit aimless in a design and it feels less intentional.
So how are
in that way.
We're doing that with furniture and other things,
right,
that we
exactly.
bring in.
Exactly. So by adding a contrasting piece of furniture or art that really stands out against that color drenching, you're really helping your eye travel around the room still, which is important.
I don't think there's any clear-cut, easy answers you can dish out. I think the bigger thing is to grasp that concept.
Yeah.
Drenching that room in one color mm-hmm. is going to eliminate some of the
focal
natural
points.
Flow
right.
that our eye needs.
Yeah.
You're going to need to bring that in some way, whether that's art or furniture.
Right.
Another consideration is you've got to create dimension in the space.
Right. You know, again, because you're eliminating some of that dimension by blending all of the architectural features together, you really want to consider how your furnishings can bring some of the dimension back in. So one way to do that would be using a patterned rug or, you know, upholstery, heavily textured upholstery. So like a curtain that's velvet or something like that. Like there needs to
be some
dimension.
These can be different colors, or do these still need to be the same color?
There's two different schools of thought on that. You're going to see spaces, if you look at any of those platforms again, where they're using the same color curtains as the walls again. And I don't think that it has to be that way. I think that could be an intentional, I'm creating a focal point here by using
with
a contrasting color.
Okay.
So either way you do it, I think is fine.
If
but
it's the same
you're
color,
really,
you're relying on texture and
yeah,
other
exactly.
things that
yeah, exactly. Really
come
relying
through a little
on
more.
Texture. And that's what's creating that dimension for you. So if you're just focused on creating dimension, it could technically be the same color. You just need to still be focused on the focal points with other things then.
All right. So create focal points, create dimension. Third thing, the color's got to be right.
Yeah.
That should be number one, number 1B, number 2B, right? Get that color right. You can't miss on this.
Well,
you're going to be so sad.
But you shouldn't, right?
Right.
Because that would be really heartbreaking to spend all of that time and energy and money creating a space, one, that's one color, and then hating.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the level to which you would hate that space.
Think of the visual hug that would give you.
Yeah.
Every day. It's like a kick in the pants, right?
Yep.
Every single day.
It's a very aggressive hug.
Get that color right. We'll help you with that. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to pull this off, how to get the right color,
mm-hmm.
how to choose the right products, all of those things coming up in just a minute. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And Haley was regaling us with all kinds of information about color drenching.
Yeah, it's a big trend right now, and it's picking up steam. I think I'm seeing it everywhere at this point. People are painting their walls, their trim, their doors, the ceiling, all the same color.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything the same.
Drenching
not necessarily the floors,
color.
Right? The floors can be a different
color.
They could
that's
be.
Next.
we're gonna steer the trends in that direction. But, I mean, we're talking potentially furniture,
right.
Drapes. I mean,
very monochromatic.
The art you've created. It's just a canvas that you got at whatever arts and crafts store, painted it with the same color that's on the walls, hang it up. What's that? That's my art. I'm color drenching. Right?
Yeah.
Same color everywhere.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? We're not going to go and tell you again because we already told you that. And it was sheer gold. And you're going to have to catch the podcast and go back and listen to segment two.
Yeah, there are a lot of benefits. A
lot of good stuff in there. Let's talk about how to do this. And we ended last segment talking about what I think is probably the, well, one of the big things that you got to do with this is you've got to get the color right.
Right.
So I think starting with this how-to, let's talk about how to get the color right.
Yeah, sampling is always something that we really try to stress, right?
That's when you're just painting a
wall. Exactly. Or your door or whatever, you know, just one surface.
Yeah, we nag and nag. Sample, sample, sample. Now you're going to paint everything in a space.
It's really imperative at this point that
you're going to require that you sample.
You're not allowed to color drench unless you've sampled.
I know it's America, but I think
we've got rules.
Even the founding fathers would agree with this one. So you've got to sample. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to be buying all these sample pints or sample half pints.
Right.
Right?
You know,
they changed the size now, right?
Yeah, they're half pints.
And they're half off right now.
True.
Look at that great segue.
Wow.
It's through May 13. I'm saying it now because I'll probably forget later. It started yesterday, April. It started April 26, runs through May 13. Woodlux, the exterior stain we talked about a few weeks ago, you can get those samples half off, and any interior paint samples if you want to check your color out.
So if you're planning on color drenching, now is the time to get those samples.
Get those samples. But you don't have to just buy samples. And in fact, you should start somewhere else before you're dropping the coin to get the samples.
Yeah. Hopefully you've really narrowed down your options before you start sampling, especially if you're going to be color drenching, because I think it's really important that you sample as big as possible when you're trying to decide whether this is the right choice for your space. So before you start sampling, hopefully you're in the store, you're working with us, you're narrowing down your options and finding a specific direction. Let's say that direction is green. And we've got a few greens that we're looking at. Now, it's really nice to look at larger color chips in the store. Architectural color chips are about 8x8 in size. And those are free. You can take them home, look at them in your light, and really decide further whether that color is the right direction. Once you've hopefully narrowed it down to your favorite, I think then going back to the store, getting a half off sample, and then going back and sampling it as large as possible is what I'd recommend. So sampling it large here means you're not just painting it on the wall, you're also going onto the trim, going onto the door a little bit. Hopefully you can find a corner in the room that feels like you can hit multiple surfaces. So you've got the best visualization of what color drenching that space is going to look like. If you can go onto the ceiling, I think that's helpful. It may not be necessary, but I think it could help a lot in really deciding whether this is something you want to move forward with.
Yeah. Boy, that's a big buy-in.
I mean, but
not sure Dan's got it in
him. Color sample, you're spending, what, like $3?
No. It has nothing to do with the money. I'm thinking about, wow, the process. You know, you're right. I need to see it on all of those surfaces to know. But I know myself. No, I don't like it. Well, I wish I hadn't done it. Sure do like the original color on everything. Wow, that's a lot of touch-ups. It's not going to touch up smoothly.
Well,
so I know color drenching is not for me.
Yeah.
I don't have the psyche for it. I'm going to need psychiatric help first to get me over my other problems before I can even attempt this. But other people do this.
Yeah.
So be aware. That sampling thing, super important. Just make sure you've worked your way through the colors before you start throwing anything on the walls.
And this might be one of those situations where you do decide to bring in an expert into your space and get a color consultation from someone that can really help you find the right direction if this is something that you're deciding to do, because you really do not want to get the color wrong in this case.
No, so definitely keep that in mind. It's really important. Obviously, it's important. And ask the questions that you need to ask. Get the help you need to get before you move ahead. All right, let's talk about the sheen or the sheens, because now we're talking about a lot of different surfaces. And traditionally, we'd put different finishes on those surfaces.
Right. You know, typically walls in like a living room, let's say, would be an eggshell or a matte finish, while typically the trim in that room would be a satin sheen or even a semi-gloss. So normally we would use those different sheens because that higher sheen is going to give you more durability on those surfaces that take more of a beating, like the trim or, you know, doorways, all of that gets bumped and kicked and banged, where the walls don't necessarily need that much durability.
I rarely hit the walls with the vacuum.
Right, exactly.
Unless it's like one of those crazy vacuuming days where everything goes wrong, but the trim gets beaten up pretty bad. So yeah, we use those different finishes. But
right,
are you going to do that with this? Can you? Should you? What happens if you do? What happens if you don't?
Yeah, there are some pros and cons, right? Because like we just talked about, you're getting more durability if you use those higher sheens on those surfaces. However, with color drenching, you're using the same color on the walls and the trim. But by adding different sheens into the mix, you're actually changing the color slightly. So if you're someone that's really hung up on the idea that your walls are going to be the exact same color as your trim and your doors, this might drive you a little bit nuts.
All right, I have got a question for you. Off script, I think I know the answer. Are you that person?
I am that person.
You are. I figured it was. Yeah, that's exactly what I figured. I know you well enough. It would drive you nuts.
It would.
You'd have to use the same finish on everything.
I would use the same finish on everything just for that color consistency, even though, I mean, you're sacrificing some things.
And you are still going to have some variance because...
Right.
Just the way the angle of the, you know, the light bouncing off of the door versus the wall or the material that you're painting can give a slightly different look, right?
Yes, there's always going to be a level of color inconsistency. And really, that's part of the beauty of color drenching is that theater of light.
Okay. So for me, I don't think I'd care. I'm not going to do it. So I guess this is an exercise in futility, but I don't think I would. I think I would keep my trim and my doors with the appropriate glosses, whatever those would be.
Well, there's some benefit to that.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Outside of practical reasons.
We had talked about the need to create dimension because you're covering everything with the same color.
Exactly.
You got to create dimension. And you can do that by putting a higher gloss on your trim and your doors. It's going to give you that dimension without changing the color significantly. And I think that's a nice benefit.
Yeah, I think you reap all the benefits of color drenching, and then on top of that, you're adding a little bit more dimension back into the space.
But I am sacrificing the exact, or at least as close to the exact color as possible. And that variance normally would be pretty small.
Yes.
But I guess there are potentials where it could be,
You know, I've seen certain situations where someone color drenched a room in green, and I could notice from the pictures that the trim and the doors were slightly yellower green than the walls.
Did you let them know?
No, but I...
They were just online people?
Yeah, I had a really hard time looking.
If they were a friend of yours, I'm using air quotes.
Well, I mean, what's the point in that? They're just going to be mad afterwards.
Well, that's the point in that. You've destroyed somebody else's dream. You can go home, feel good about yourself, right? So you wouldn't do that to anybody. No. You'd just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Maybe
Same
they
here.
Like it.
All right. So if you're going to do that, let's get back to your thing, because you talked about putting the same
sheen
on all of the different surfaces.
Yeah.
And we talked about how that's sacrificing some durability. That can be mediated a little bit or reduced by using the right paint.
Yes.
So what would you go with
on
your all the same thing product?
Yeah, I would use ScuffX in Eggshell. So an appropriate sheen for the wall. And in ScuffX, while Eggshell would normally not be an appropriate sheen for trim and doors, in ScuffX,
or at least not the standard one,
you are getting really good durability on all of those surfaces still. ScuffX, we probably don't talk about it enough because it's really an amazing product, and there's a lot to uncover with it, but really its claim to fame is that this is a product where it does not scuff, and you're getting something that's really, really durable. We can put it on cabinets, trim, doorways, in any sheen, and we're still getting that great durability regardless.
Right. It gets used in all kinds of settings, you know, schools and...
Yeah, it was designed for commercial settings.
Right, where you know, wheelchairs or whatever is banging against the wall, office situations where furniture is getting...
Schools.
Yeah, all of those things. It resists scuffing. It reduces all the time that you spend touching up, wiping, trying to get those walls looking good again. It keeps them looking good, and it really does work. It's...
Yeah.
One of those really fun to talk about products, because you can make a lot of really exaggerated and really flamboyant claims.
Yes.
And it really does come through. And we've seen it used, you know, it went from being for those industrial type settings or those professional settings. And people started using it in hallways and entryways and mudrooms and stairwells and
everywhere,
Haley's color drenched room, all of those things, because of the durability that you get from it. I don't know where it really runs short. It doesn't work outside.
Sure.
Let's not use it out there. It applies beautifully. It's really, it's a pleasure to work with.
One of my favorite products to work with. So on top of everything that you're getting on, you know, the inside during the process of painting, it's really nice to work with too.
So yeah, Scuffex from Benjamin Moore prices out like other premium products. Yep. So you're not paying way more than another premium product, but it is going to do some things that a lot of other products won't do. All right, so Scuffex on the walls, I think for my situation, since I would use different products on the trim versus the walls, you know, the pathway's wide open for me. Pretty much anything. Repco Light makes Optima. Regal Select.
You could Regal Select.
Oh, all kinds of options.
Even, I mean, there's a lot.
I could use Scuffex and just use the different finishes. Let's talk about the ceiling, because even though you're going to color drench your room with the entire, you know, the same product everywhere, there is an exception, and that's the ceiling. You're not going to put Scuffex on your ceiling.
No, regardless of whether you're using the same paint and color on the trim and the doors and the walls, you need to use Benjamin Moore's waterborne ceiling paint, because it's the only one that can be tinted to any color and still stay an ultra flat sheen, which you really need on a ceiling because it's such an awkward orientation to work in and your application is just not going to be perfect. And most of the time with a sheen, you can see a lot of those imperfect application techniques. But with an ultra flat, you're hiding a lot of that. So it really does save you in the end.
Right. And as Haley mentioned, a lot of flats can be tinted to some extent, some more than others. But pretty much all other flats that I'm aware of are going to pick up a little bit of sheen from the colorant that's added.
Yes.
And that little bit of sheen, even though it started as a flat product, is going to give you just enough to make that application somewhat problematic.
Yep.
And so Benjamin Moore's premium waterborne ceiling paint will stay ultra flat and you'll have a great application.
Yeah, really unique.
All right. I think that wraps up the color drenching thing. I think the big thing is, if you're thinking about jumping into this, you got to get the color right. I've said that like 12 times now.
You got to get the color right.
Start.
And you really need to talk to an expert because there's so many considerations with the paint, the sheen, the color. We want to help you get through this project.
Yeah. So start at any Repco Light. Bring in your pictures, your dreams, your visions.
Yeah.
We'll help you figure out how to make those realities. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about raised bed gardening. Maybe it's a little late. Maybe there's time. Maybe you're going to have to really rush on it. It's a good topic. You're going to like it. That's next. Stick around. And we're back. And Haley, let's talk about raised bed gardening.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this topic. You actually pitched this one.
I did. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And because I pitched this topic, you can rest assured, it's gold. No matter what, it's gold. You're going to love it. I've got to start with an important caveat, though.
So it's gold, but right off the bat,
gold,
there's a big but.
But I thought about delaying it until the fall because I thought this was great. I was so excited with the nice spring weather, and I realized I've got a perfect plot at home where I could put this, you know? And I was so super excited. I got the kids all excited. I started digging into it a little more, and I realized, wow, should have started this in the fall.
There's a lot of planning involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning, and there's a lot of things to do. Building the bed, you know, and honestly, just getting the soil ready.
Right.
There's ways. I can just buy a bunch of expensive soil and dump it in there, and it can be ready to go relatively quickly.
Or you can kind of compost your own. And
that's what I would want to do because that's the cheap way to do it.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of things that I could use to do that, but I don't have time to do that. It's a fall thing. So I thought about delaying it, but I told my daughter that I was going to delay not just the topic on the radio, but
the project.
The project. You know, we'll do it. We'll get things built, but we'll kind of get things moving in the fall and then plant next spring. She was so disappointed.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking and I thought, you know, right now the iron is hot. You've got to strike while the iron's hot. I'm super pumped about this idea. I need to jump in now. I may not get I won't get, most likely, right, a huge crop of amazing.
No, but you can start small and you can get something happening.
I can get some tomato plants planted, right, and all
some
of this
lettuce,
going.
You know,
we can have fun. We can get our feet wet and just get it moving. So I wanted to talk about it. I think it's a great, interesting topic. And maybe somebody out there, it's going to just scratch that itch. It's going, right, to give you something to do outside, something to build, something to handle all summer long.
And you then, get to eat it.
Yeah, something to eat later, and then something to laugh about if you fail. That's my plan. Remember when the rabbits ate everything that we had?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, good times, good times. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about raised bed gardening. Why is this a way to go? Why is this intriguing? I've got a number of different things, but I guess first we probably need to start, just for the few people out there who are wondering what in the world is raised bed gardening. What is that? Well, really, we're just, it could be a number of different things. It could be just mounds of dirt that are higher than the normal ground. That's actually a raised bed. But literally, we're talking about basically a planting bed that sits on top of your existing soil. It could be a few inches tall, could be waist high or higher, could be made of a variety of different materials. You know, it could be composed of wood, but it could be metal, stones,
cinder block. Yeah.
Corrugated metal.
Right.
Who knows what? It could be all kinds of different things. And generally, they're about 4 foot wide, so you can reach the center from either side.
Yeah, that's really important.
Okay, that's raised bed. Now, why would you want to consider raised bed gardening? Well, first off, you can garden anywhere.
Right. It could be on top of a patio or gravel or, you know, poor gardening soil.
That's what I've got.
Yeah.
It's poor. Now, I could maybe go to work and get all of that fixed, but that's a lot of ground to cover. Mm-hmm. I could focus on a bed and just put that right on there and really start working right away. As long as the bed is deep enough for the roots of your desired plants, you're good to go. So pretty much anywhere. Second, you've got superior soil. We were kind of hinting at that already, but you fill this thing with your choice of soil.
Yeah, and if you're dealing with poor soil in your ground currently, this is a workaround to that, right? And that's what I had in my old apartment building. I got the go-ahead to do a raised bed, but I don't want to plant in the soil that was there.
Sure. So this way you can pick and choose what you put in there. And even more compelling to me is the fact that you can adjust the soil in different beds. So if you've got different plants that have different soil requirements,
right, you
can actually fine-tune everything for that. Third, raised bed gardening is more accessible. And I'm thinking about my age here and my sore back after all my catwalking through my back out last week. I talked about on the radio. But bending over to weed things isn't so fun anymore. With a raised bed, you can honestly, you know, at the right height, I can kneel down right beside it. I can sit on the edge.
You
and again. And
even, I mean, if you go high enough.
Well, right. Well, I'm short enough. So those things balance. But yeah, if you build it 4 foot wide, you can reach all the way into the middle from either side. So there's not a lot of, you know, have far reaching or anything like that.
It's
all
so
very comfortable and very accessible for a wide variety of people.
Right.
Fourth, weeding is much easier. I love this one. But as we said, you can kneel by the bed and weed it. So that part is great. The actual work is easier. But also the fact that it's raised off the ground.
Right. It keeps a lot of those seeds from being blown in and taking root.
At least that's the scoop on the internet. And that's what I'm hearing from people who have done this.
Yeah.
And I am really trusting on that and taking that to the bank because the weeding part of things, pretty bad for me.
It's not ideal.
No. No, I don't think anybody likes that. Few people. I love weeding. Well, maybe there are.
Maybe.
Maybe it's therapeutic.
Yeah, it could be meditative.
It's not therapeutic for me. I need therapy after I've weeded. A fifth benefit, great water control. You know, if you've got ground that tends to get waterlogged and soggy from spring rains or snow melts, raised beds filled with good draining soil will eliminate that problem.
Or if you have really sandy soil that drains too well, you've got some soil you can put in there that retains the moisture you need.
There are many more reasons. I mean, I have a list of 12, 13 reasons, and that was just a beginning. We don't have any more time. I'm going to jump into it. The kids are excited. We're going to get a bed built, see what we can produce, see what we can grow, and then by next year, I think we can be really clicking along. All right, that's all the time we've got. We're going to wrap this one up. If you want to catch it again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Haley Johnson. Thanks for listening.